Revelation chapter 3 from verse 20. And it's a very simple passage that we've heard and we've read many times before. And it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." As we close the year 2016, I believe the Lord is speaking to us, saying, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." I give thought to how over the last few years, we as a church, we've been through many trials, we've been through many joys, we've been through many victories, and we have seen many things in our lives. I will dare say that in the last 10, 15 years, there's no family in our midst that hasn't been visited by one trial or the other. And so we have in many ways, you know, been visited by God's strength in our lives to bear, to overcome, to walk till this day in which we are closing in on another year, 2016. It's been a year that has been fraught with many challenges, and it's been a year that has been fraught with many victories also. You know, looking at last year, this year, how many of us, you know, built new houses from people, how, you know, moved into new jobs, and some people have gotten married. But we thank God because our God is with us. You know, when we talk about challenges, you know, I have come to realize that challenges are relative, brethren. You know, in America, you face a challenge when you have a bill that you cannot pay. You know, the kind of challenges we are faced with in this part of the world is very different from the kind of challenges that other people in other parts of the world are faced with. And so when we talk about challenges, we have to look at what other people, what they are faced with before we call our challenges real challenges. You know, there was a depiction that I saw some time ago of this guy sitting in a wheelchair looking at somebody passing in a car, the person driving, looking longingly that, oh, that I could be the one driving that car. And the person driving that car was looking at the car beside him. You know, he was driving one of these, you know, slower cars. If I were to just use my imagination, I'll call it maybe a Yugo, or, you know, even Volkswagen is high class now. But think about something for the masses. That person now looking beside him, looking at somebody driving a Porsche or a Lamborghini. The person driving Lamborghini is, started with the person driving a bicycle. Person driving a bicycle, look at the person driving a car. Person driving a car, look at the person driving a sports car. Person driving a sports car, looking at people who are flying in planes. You know, and looking longingly that I wish I could have this. You know, but, you know, in the things that I have faced this year, to have health itself is being wealthy. In the hospital, when you see somebody struggling to take a breath, you know, you will know how much health means. You know, there are certain things we do that we don't even think about it at all. I went through an operation and it was an ordeal and prayer just to pass gas. You are praying for to pass gas. Can you believe that? But some people, that is their lot in life. For some people, that is their daily experience. I don't have a house yet. Doesn't mean that I won't have a house. I don't have a spouse yet doesn't mean that I won't have a spouse. I don't have a job yet does not mean that I won't have a job. You see, these things are part of the things that we face in life. We overcome and we come to the next mountain. What is the next mountain? I remember many years ago when Brother Debo here and I were still in school, we graduated. Many of you came to America, you were in school, we all graduated. After that phase of graduation, we began to have babies. Now our babies are, we're looking forward to them graduating now, you know. So the cycle of life continues. But what then is constant in life? What then that is constant in life is that we will always face things in life that we will give God thanks for, no matter what they are. I believe the Lord is calling us to pause as we close out 2016. Looking at, you know, when I look at the political situation of the world today, in light of what the Bible is telling us, you know, there used to be a time when messages about the Lord's coming were rampant and were rife. When I was a young Christian growing up, many times in the fellowship, we'll hear messages of Jesus is coming again, Jesus is coming again. And the urgency with which we preached that message of Jesus is coming again, that urgency was reflected in the way we lived. That urgency was reflected in the messages we preached and heard. Today, it looks like many people have forgotten that word, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. You know, Jesus Christ in the book of Matthew, he said that in the end times, in the last days, there will be wars and rumors of wars. There will be earthquakes. In another part, we read that men will be lovers of themselves. The love of many for the Lord Jesus Christ will grow cold. Brethren, that is what I am seeing today in the world. Now, not only in the world, in the church. And here I believe the Lord Jesus Christ is calling us. Because this message was to the Laodicean church. It was to a church. It wasn't to unbelievers. It was to people who knew the Lord. And I believe that every one of us here seated, we are seated here for a reason. Because we believe in God. And God is calling us. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. You guys, you'll be preparing, your own brother is preparing for college soon. Very soon you'll be preparing for college also. You'll be starting your life in another few months. You'll be off to college. You'll be on your own, you know. And the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man will hear, and not only hear, will open the door, I will come into him and I will sup with him. Times like this, it calls for a pause, at least for me in my life, because when I look at it, you know, we can get so caught up in the daily grind of things that we forget that, look, there is a strength that is above our strength that we have to call on, that we have to look to. And many times the Lord has reminded me who the strength of my life is. And I will confess to you, you see, when I came to America, you know, when you don't have much, you tend to call upon God for a lot. But when things begin to settle in your life, and you guys, you will notice, you will find out later in life as you to begin to go. But one day you will remember what this man of God, what he's preached and what he's been teaching, because it will happen to you too. Now you are going to college, you are reading, you'll begin your life. Maybe you don't know what life is yet, because how many bills do you pay at home, Derry? None, you see? Eh? Tell me, how many bills do you pay? None. very soon you begin to pay your own bills. And when you begin to pay those bills, you will know what life is. You cannot identify with what your parents do now. But very soon, you too, you'll begin to identify with those things. Do you go shopping? And you don't pay any bills. Do you eat? And you don't pay any bills. Is there a roof over your head? And you don't pay any bills. You see, this is the phase in life in which you are being taken care of. And you will get to a phase in life in which you will have to take care of yourself. Your parents were at that phase sometime in life. They got jobs. They were doing fine. They had you. They built houses. And in doing all those things, for some of us, the favor of the things of the Lord began to wane. When we said, let's go and pray, there was a favor to pray because there was something we were looking for. When many of us were looking for jobs, we were praying. When we got jobs, our prayer decreased. When children were late in coming, we began to pray. When the children came, prayers diminished. And I'm being honest with us here. Because it's a call to let us not forget that the Lord is coming again. The world might forget, but we cannot afford to forget. This is what the Christian life is all about. You see, there's a word in the world called hedonism. Hedonism means that your life is about enjoying the carnalities of life. And many times in Christianity, hedonism is in there also. People want to go to heaven because heaven is a place they have heard that is made of gold. Not because Christ is there, but because the things that they are enjoying here, they want to keep on enjoying after they die. But it doesn't work that way. The Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples, I am the way, the truth, and the life. First of all, he said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus said, where I am, there you may be also. So heaven is a place that Christ has prepared for himself, and he's inviting those who want him, those who desire him, to come and be there with him. And so I'm just imploring us, as we hear messages like this, let us put it in one side of our hearts and let us re-examine our lives, especially when we come to junctions like this, when we are going from one year into the next year, so that our life doesn't become an endless chasing after what can never bring us eternal satisfaction. I've said many times before, food can never bring anybody eternal satisfaction. That is why you do not eat the same food every day of your life forever. Have you ever eaten rice for breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 7 days before? You've never. Would you like to try it just as an experiment so that you'll be able to tell us next week what it felt like? No, why? Because you like other stuff. That's it. See, Auntie Folake sitting there. She's changed positions like this nearly 10 times in the... No matter where you sit, it cannot bring you eternal satisfaction. None of you can wear the same thing from January to 31st of December. There is one person who eternally satisfies and in whom we find joy, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe he is the one calling to our hearts, calling to the church today. I stand at the door and knock. I stand at the door and knock. Many people, what they desire in life is joy, to be happy. But you see, happiness, joy, outside Christ, it cannot last. Eternal joy is one in which even when you are going through hard times, you have a hope that you will come out of those hard times. So even in hard times, you can still smile. That is what joy given by Christ, that is what it is. Many, many years ago, there was an excerpt I cut out of a magazine. And that magazine said something that, it said, Nigerians are the happiest people on earth. At that time, I don't know now. That was nearly 10 years ago now. And it said that in the midst of very, very little, in the midst of abject poverty, that many people found things that would make them happy. Because they rated the happiest people on earth on a scale. And on that scale, America was 16th to the bottom of the happiest people on earth. And he said that people who had nest eggs, you know what they call nest eggs, investments of $300,000, that if the stock market crashes and $200,000, out of that $300,000 is wiped out, they commit suicide. So somebody who doesn't have and is still happy, and somebody who has plenty and still thinking that just two-thirds of your investment being wiped out is the end of the world for you, where then can eternal joy be found? It's not in things. The Lord Jesus Christ knocks at our hearts. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone would hear my voice and open, I will come and I will sup with that person, and that person will sup with me. It is the joy of the Lord by his grace that he wants us. That is why he died. You see, the God we serve is not the kind of God you struggle and have to go through hoops to come into relationship with. But our God is still a jealous God that desires our relationship. If husband and wife, we don't talk to each other for 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. I know some of you, that's normal. But when it comes to 1 week, 1 month, that's a problem then, right? 3 days is fine, right? It's not fine. I know it's not fine, but we still do it. For 1 month, we'll say, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. But let's look at it, brethren. If we haven't opened our Bibles to read for 1 month, and we don't think there's something wrong, what kind of Christianity then are we practicing? Because we call it a relationship with our God, right? And if we have not done anything to seek him out, yet we enjoy the blessings that he blesses us with. We go out, we come in. We're alive, we eat. We sleep, we wake up. Those are blessings that God gives. And if we, in turn, do nothing to seek him out, to relate with him, he calls on our heart, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. Let me leave you with this. You see, when you look at world politics and you look at things happening, it tends to tell us something, because the Bible tells us that when you see the fig begin to bud, you have to know what times we live in. There was a time when there are many different forms of governments, you know. Communism rose, and Cuba rose with communism, socialism rose, you know, and there are many, many forms of governments, and everybody was touting that theirs is the best. Okay? Russia, the USSR back then, was the bastion of communism. So was East Germany. Communism fell. Russia broke up into many, many different, you know, smaller nations. The Berlin Wall in East Germany, this fell. Socialism, it fell. Now, the America's answer to the best form of government in the world is democracy. And democracy is being touted all over the world. America is forcing down everybody's throats. I'm telling you something that, you see, we never knew that somebody like Trump could come into power in a country like this. When I look at it, it amazes me. Because, you know, it's like you have many, many adults in a room, and then you take a child, say, rule us. And I think God is doing something, even in America, to show you that democracy is not the answer to the world's problems. Because even as every other superpower has fallen, brethren, Rome was a superpower. Is Rome a superpower today? Okay. Persia was a superpower. Is it today? Greece. You know that when they say you're speaking Greek, they can't hear what you're saying. It was a superpower at a time in the world. Egypt was a superpower at a time in the world. That little island called Great Britain that colonized nearly half the world, it was a superpower at a time. Kingdoms rise and fall. Powers rise and wane. America too, one day, its glory will set. And we have to come to the realization that one constant remains whose glory will never fall. Because as long as they've been saying that Christianity will die, the Bible will not be read any longer. You know, there was somebody's press, forgotten who it was, what the name of the person. That person said that Christianity will be no longer in the next 100 years. He had a printing press. He was on his own printing press that they printed one of the editions of the Bible. Christianity has stood for centuries, and Christ is still standing. Our Christ is still standing, and he's calling upon us. Take a pause. Behold, I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. I knock because I said that one day I will come back. It is not a lie. I will still come back. But are you waiting for me? Are you longing for my return? People, for joy now, what do we have? I'm not saying, look, we should not at times have things we rejoice at in church. But when church becomes a comedy skit, there's a problem. There is a problem. When church is the platform for, what's it called? MMM. Is that what they call it? The new one, the people donated money and churches donated money, and the person who it was, a, you know what they call this? Pyramid scheme, Ponzi scheme. How can Ponzi scheme be grounded in a church and the people will be taken? I don't know. I don't know. But if we forget Christ, that is what will happen, brethren. If we forget Christ, other things will take the place of Christ. Other things will take his place in our hearts. And if we stop praying, I pray God would not allow us to stop praying. Because the nation that forgets God, it is always a sad thing that happens. So, I leave us tonight. If anything that we should remember tonight, Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man hears my voice, if any woman hears my voice, if any child hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. I will come in and I will sup with you and you with me. Brethren, let us not forget our Lord Jesus Christ. Because what he said to a church after he had been resurrected, our jobs, our houses, our wealth is not the answer to the rest of our lives. Let us hold on to Christ and not forget him. Let there be personal revivals in our hearts. Let there be personal revivals in our homes. If we say we are Christians, let us live for Christ. Muslims, they are not shy about the God they serve. They serve him willingly. And if one thing, some Muslims are known for terrorist attacks all over the world, and they are known for it. What are we Christians known for? I say, if a terrorist is willing to kill for what he believes, we as Christians, we should say we are willing to die for what we believe, not kill for what we believe. There is a difference. But how do we live our lives? Do we live our lives in such a way that we can say that? Or are the things that we have, are we so bound to them that the loss of these things, like America, will be the loss of everything for us? Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. May the Lord hear our prayers. Amen. Well, we're going to take some time to pray tonight. And I will beseech you that let us look at our hearts. Let us look at our Christian walk. Let us look at it very well tonight and reassess, because there are times like this where we have to pause and ask ourselves that, look, what this man is saying, does it make any sense in my life? Is there any truth to it in my life? Is Christ still the object of my pursuit? How much of the Bible do I still enjoy? How much of Christ do I still pursue? And let us pray over these things. The good thing is that if that is not the case, it is not the end for us as Christians. That is the joy that we have in our God, because he draws us close to him. We can pray for grace and for strength, that in this new year, there'll be a personal revival in our hearts, that these things that we have left, we will pick them up again. You know, sometimes even for a marathon runner, they get tired, they slow down. Somebody comes alongside them and encourages them, keep on in this race. We're not at the finish mark yet. We're not at the end yet. And I believe that is what Christ is doing for us tonight. Urging us on, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. Open the door, hear my voice. Let us pray that the Lord will give us the grace and the strength to continue in this race with him. If there be challenges we have faced in this year, let us bring this before the Lord. He says that, look, bring your burden. Bring it to my feet. Let me exchange it for my burden, because my own burden I will give to you. It is light and it is easy. The burden you bring from the world, it is heavy, it is burdensome. Bring it before me. If there be health challenges, let's bring it to God. Let's trust God. No matter what they are. If there be things we've been praying about, hopes and aspirations that we've been seeking the Lord for, whether it's, Lord, I want a new job. This job is killing me. Lord, I want to change my job because I cannot be a witness for you where I am. If there are children that are not doing well, no matter what it is, we can bring it before the Lord. That is why we come together and pray. And not only pray, but we believe that the Lord would answer us. It is not, we're not just, you know, throwing up prayer to God. Oh yeah, here. We believe that our God answers us because we're not worshiping a dead God. I tell people, if you have to defend your God is dead. If anybody insults your God and you have to defend your God, that means that your God needs food, that you have to feed your God. If you have to carry your God, your God is dead. But I serve a living God. We serve a living God. And so tonight, I want us to pray. Young and old, I want us to pray tonight as we go into a new year, that the blessings of the Lord will be ours in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of the Lord will be ours. The strength of the Lord will be ours. The joy of the Lord will be ours in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That 2017 coming will surpass 2016. The Bible says that the glory of the latter years shall surpass the glory of the former years. So will it be in our lives in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So brethren, let's begin to pray. I want us all to go before God personally, just seeking the face of God.